Hello and welcome to another Business Spotlight interview. And today I am joined by Jock Gardner of Alba Equity and TMM Executive. So thank you very much, Jock. How are you doing today?
I'm very good. The sun shines in Aberdeen, so all must be well.
Good, good. I don't hear that very often. But the sun's shining in Aberdeen.
Very true.
Good to hear it's out today. That's excellent. Good. So, Jock, tell us a little bit about yourself and the businesses that you're associated with then.
So, I am Jock Gardner. I'm a trained chartered accountant. Can come back onto that later. Done a bit of investment management in my time. But current business interests are our portfolio approach, relatively wide and varied, but the two key ones to focus on are Alba Equity, which is an angel investor group set up here in Aberdeen, but covering investment throughout the whole of Scotland, which we set up, myself and two colleagues set up about 4 years ago now, with a view to being able to provide capital from high net worth individuals to support growing early stage high growth businesses in Scotland. So that is up and running and going well, and I can cover a wee bit more about that as we do the interview. My other primary interest is as chairman of a local executive recruitment business called TMM, originally founded as Thorpe Molloy, and that business is now celebrating its 25th year. And in recent times, we're looking to, grow the business further and wider, both in terms of roles they cover, including executive search, which we set up a division in that a couple of years ago. So it's a good barometer of, largely the Northeast economy, but, wider Scotland as well, with the advent of modern technology, we can reach further these days. So they're my two primary business interests.
Excellent. Excellent. Who is the first person that comes to mind when you think of success then? Or maybe actually, if I was to rephrase it, maybe who's maybe inspired you then, or what's inspired you to get to where you are right now?
That's a good question. And to be honest, it's a very easy answer in my case. So thank you for asking that one. The answer to that is the one and only Alec Ferguson, the ex-manager of Aberdeen Football Club. And not because of him, but Aberdeen Football Club brought me to this city effectively when it came to deciding where to go to university back in 1983. They'd just won in Gothenburg, which the 40-year celebrations have taken place of. And, led by Alec Ferguson, who at the time would have been 35, 36 years old. But what a leader that guy was, an absolute winner, inspired loyalty, inspired a winning mentality, but also worked with his, worked with his team and the players and the board of the club and the fans, etc., to create a, an unstoppable force at the time. So being an Aberdeen fan and also, now being a businessman, I've read all Fergie's books, etc. So not quite he's taught me everything I know about business, far from it, but at the same time he is an absolute inspiration to me, and great to see that he's still down in the boardroom at Old Trafford every week type thing with Manchester United these days. So easy question, easy answer. Alec Ferguson is my inspirational success sort of mentor, for want of a better word.
Fantastic. I totally agree with you. Absolutely. Absolutely agree with you there. You've read his books then. So that, have you read the one Leading?
Yes, I have indeed. Indeed.
Excellent. What was your biggest learning from that book? And could you maybe tell us how you've maybe implemented that into how you work?
Yeah, I think it's about, in simple terms, setting achievable but very ambitious goals and sticking to achieving them and having the right people round about you to help you do that, because you can't do everything yourself. And interestingly enough, at the You know, the, going back to the Gothenburg celebrations last week, you know, guys like Archie Knox, who was Fergie's number two, you know, he took the coaching. He took the players day to day. Fergie, yes, absolutely was there every day. But, you know, he stuck to the things he was best at type thing, you know, in terms of managing the board, giving the pep talks to the players, looking to, you know, sign new players, etc., and let I would say the day-to-day type operation be done by others. And I think, you know, I've kind of not because it was Alec Ferguson that did that, but some of those traits in business and in management and in people management are so important. You know, stick to what you're good at, hire people who are better than you at certain things, because it makes your life easier and makes you much more effective. So I've kind of, I guess, through my business career, taken that on board and try to realize this, you know, quickly, the things you're good at doing and focus on them and harness them. And the things you either don't like doing so much or are not so good at doing, find people who you can work with, trust, be part of a team with, to you know, to focus on those aspects. And that's kind of been one of my ways of, I guess, you know, doing my, how I go about business in the various guises, you know, both in Alba and in TMM, is play to people's strengths.
Yeah. Excellent. Achievable but ambitious goals. I've wrote that down. And yes, surround yourself with a good team and people that you also said that are better than you. Absolutely. Some big learnings from that book. I think it's an underrated book as well, Leading. It's very good. Very good book. Just like Alex Ferguson, though, you know, he had amazing success. Incredible.
Yeah.
Arguably the greatest football manager of all time. But he went through a period after he left Aberdeen and went to Manchester United. He went through a period where he really struggled to get any success and was close to, apparently close to getting sacked at Manchester United, but turned it around. So, in regards to yourself then, during, has there been any sort of periods, or can you give us any sort of examples of challenge that you faced as a business owner then?
Yeah, I think you live and you learn through your career, and you learn an awful lot more from things that haven't gone right than you know, from the successes. And whilst it's right to celebrate success, one of the things that you know, that Fergie always did, and everybody said this about him, was once something had been won, that was it. You move on to the next thing. The cup goes into the cabinet, and you move on to next cup, the next season, etc. And I think that's, you know, that goes into business as well. And certainly my own history of, you know, investment management in investing in private companies through various different businesses that I, you know, was involved in at the time before founding Alba Equity, is so true that, you know, when you make a successful exit, that's great. Investors are all happy. They, you know, make a return on it. But the reality is you're on to the next one, and you're only as good as the last one, et cetera. So the challenge, I think, is, and the area to learn from, are when investments don't work out and they fail, which does happen. You're not doing your job in investment right if you don't get failures, because it's a risk investment game. And the failures are absolutely painful for a whole heap of reasons, you know, for investors because they lose money, for staff because they lose jobs, for stakeholders because, you know, there's reputational damage, there's bad debts, etc. And that's very difficult. But at the end of the day, it's business and it's life. So I think, you know, one of the key learnings I take is from those situations where things haven't worked out, and they can happen for a lot of different reasons. The one area that is really hard to reconcile yourself with, and I find very difficult, is, and it fortunately hasn't happened to me often, but it has happened, is when dishonorable behavior takes place, when you back management teams, a business plan, and if that fails because of market changes or you know, situations that are out of control, but people put, you know, full effort into things, for want of a better word. You can live with that. I mean, it's not nice, but you can live with it. It's when people are dishonorable or dishonest or situations like that, which can and do occur, that becomes very, very difficult to handle type thing. And I think lesson learned from all of that, I think, is business is all about people. You might have good technologies, you might have good customers, you might have good business plans, etc., but people make or break businesses.
Yeah. Okay, that very interesting there. You talked about people who might be dishonest or dishonorable. What sort of strategies or things did you put in place to overcome that kind of challenge?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And one of the part of this takes on to the recruitment business, whereby and diligence on investing in people and investing in businesses, that I'm a great believer in gut feel as a general point in life and in business, that, you know, your instinct tends to be something you should listen to and something that over time you develop and hopefully get a good nose for judging things. But instinct and gut feel alone need to be supplemented by more, I guess, scientific or rigorous due diligence. So combinations of diligence by asking as many people around an individual or a business as possible and doing detailed in-depth, you know, reviews, character references, prior employment, etc., and really digging into that is one thing. And alongside it, and again, I used to be quite skeptical about this, as people will no doubt testify to who listen to this interview, about things like psychometric testing and team dynamic testing of individuals and of teams. But actually, if done properly and done well, these sort of tools can, I think, definitely alleviate risk. And whilst, you know, if certain people are going to be fraudsters, for want of a better word, you can't necessarily detect that from a psychometric test, but at least if there are signals of certain types of behavior, it does alert you to the probability or possibility of such behaviors. So I think that, you know, detailed assessment and as much digging as possible is important. And I guess, you know, going on to the investment side, at Alba Equity, where the types of businesses we and our members are investing in are really early stage, high risk, but potentially very high growth businesses. And with often the case that founders are highly smart individuals with specific knowledge of their own technology or their own kind of IP or their own specific ideas, which is great because you need to have that entrepreneurial spirit to be able to back. But it's then, how do you assess the ability of that individual and those formative teams to be able to take it on to be a successful business rather than just a great idea? And so using some of those skills, that experience does help in assessing opportunities.
Okay. Very, very interesting what you just said there. Yeah. So, okay. Can you maybe tell us a little bit more about the kind of qualities that you look for in employees, and how do you foster a positive and productive work environment then?
Yeah. So that's a good question. I mean, ultimately, it's about teamwork. It's about the we rather than the me. And that's not easy with all individuals. So it's being able to kind of assess who can, you know, you need leaders, absolutely, you know, in the Ferguson mold, you absolutely need that, the driving force. You're never going to run or develop a good business by committee and debating society. So you need strong leadership, but that strong leadership has to be, I think, in my view anyway, very much part of a team ethos rather than an autocratic approach. You get the best out of people with openness, working together, developing, you know, younger members of the team, putting people into also challenging situations to see whether they can handle it. You know, I hear, you know, again, I can going back to the, you know, the football analogy, speaking to some of the, you know, the ex-players of that Ferguson's team, you know, in Gothenburg and around that time, who were, you know, teenage guys at that time and were, you know, put through the mill, but at the same time, you know, learnt to become men and winners at an early stage in an environment that was, you know, harsh, not in a negative or a bullying way, probably would be described perhaps as that a bit these days, but actually it was all about team spirit and developing a camaraderie and a will to win, etc. And I think that is really, really important. And, you know, particularly, I guess, in this current day, some of the activity and way of doing things, this Aberdeen team would just be back page, front page, and every page of newspapers these days for just being seen unacceptable. And I think, you know, we've got to be careful in life, you know, without wanting to get into debates on woke society and things like that. But there is an element here of you know, getting in, digging in hard, working hard as a team, and also successful businesses have that edge to them and will to win that you're not going to get through, oh, it's 5 o'clock, we all have to go home now because we've worked 7.5 hours and we're all tired, so let's go to, you know, to do all the sort of nice things in life and down the pens and all that sort of thing. So I think there is that, but you do that best by very much an encouraging, positive environment that does have, you know, winning and strong leadership at the top of the tree that filters down to throughout the team.
Yeah, yeah. I could use the Alex Ferguson analogies all day, and I'm actually going to use one for this question again, because even though, again, he was the infamous hairdryer treatment, but a lot of players that you read these days will say he also put the arm around the shoulder as well, if they needed to talk to anyone or any. Now, have you ever, you know, when we're talking about the team and everything, have you ever had to use that approach in your business life at all?
Yeah, I'm much better at the supportive arm around the shoulder rather than the blast furnace or the hairdryer.
I was then going to say, has it then worked? So sorry about that. So have you used it and then has it worked? Sorry.
So it was the blast furnace at Pittodrie. It became the hairdryer when Fergie became more refined down at Manchester. That's not my natural style, and it would only be on number of one hand and a couple of fingers had to do that. It doesn't come naturally to me personally, but if wronged, or if you know, really lack of effort or whatever, then on occasion I've had to go down that route. I much prefer the arm round the shoulder, the try to explain the, you know, not the error of the ways, but okay, this happened, but let's pick you up again and find a way to not be the victim. That's important, you know, the sort of culture of victimhood is a dangerous one. So, you know, I'm against that. So it's how do you support people out of that sort of feelings of, you know, negativity and feeling down and et cetera, to be able to pull them back up and get them back on, you know, back on the wagon or back on the horse or whatever you call it. So I think round the shoulder is a good way of doing it. And also recognizing that every individual's different. So some people, you know, might need the boot up the backside to get them going. Other people are a bit more sensitive, so you've got to tailor your approach to different individuals. You've got to tailor it to a one-to-one, from a one-to-one approach to a team environment, etc. And I think that's about you know, it's Nous, it's about reading the room, it's about reading individuals, etc., which you only get through experience and working with people to know how to get the best out of them, I think, you know. A lot of it can't be taught, a lot of it is instinctive and gut feel, but then you can refine it and know you know, how to use different tools in different ways.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks. Thank you, Jock. I've got one last question for you, all right? And then we'll wrap things up here. And my last question is if you could go back maybe even just 4 years when you first started Alba Equity, you know, if you could give yourself advice back then, what would that advice be?
That's a good question. Jokingly, but true, because it's not my forte, is be much more IT savvy. But, you know, because just my era, perhaps, and my lack of interest in the subject. But actually, what I have learned over the 4 years since we sent Alba up, so it was not long into it that we, you know, obviously the COVID pandemic came along. So we were fledgling. I think we'd maybe done made two investments at that time, and used to have meetings in a room in a coffee shop here in Aberdeen that members would come along to listen to the companies present to us. And then all of that changed for obvious reasons. And we wondered, actually, is this the end of it? Because who knows what's going to happen in the pandemic? But actually, what happened is we did all the meetings on Zoom. It proved a brilliant medium for being able for companies to you know, present their story, for members to dial in, to record it like we're doing here today, so that you couldn't meet that time slot. You could watch it in the evening, you know, after the news or the football or Coronation Street or whatever you watch on the, you know, on the telly in the evening. So IT, the benefit of being able to do it with two other guys, one of whom's smart with IT, is that he can do all the Zoom introductions and all that, which I still have got no idea of doing. So if I was saying to my younger self, or even 4 years ago, is be more IT savvy, but at the same time, I get by. I think that's probably, I mean, joking apart, but it's a major point of it. On the other thing, I think we'd, on the other anything else, it's hard to say on Alba, because if somebody had any great ambitious target for Alba of we'll do X investments or we'll bring on Y number of members, because it is a member organization, it is not, it's a cottage industry, I describe it as, rather than a hard-nosed business. We want to make good investments. We do want good investors, and we want it to be a success. But it's not like running a business like, you know, I did in the past at Maven Capital, or I assist the team with it, TMM, where they are businesses as such. So in the context of Alba, if somebody had said, you'd have 8 investments, 65 members, and collectively those investments would have, from private individuals, would total over £2.25 million, supported by significantly larger sums from Scottish Enterprise and other firms, I think we'd all say, nah, it's never going to do that, etc. So it just shows you what can be done by just cracking on slowly and working away at it. I'm not sure if that answered your question.
Oh, no, it did. It did. Yeah. It did. And that's it. I think you just kind of summed it up there. You know, just keep working at it. Just keep working at it. And again, you talked about, you know, that having those ambitious but achievable goals. And I think, you know, that's a nice way to sort of round off the interview, you know. So just keep working at it. You know, again, message to everyone out there. Keep working at it and have ambitious but achievable goals. So thank you very much, Jock. It's been a great interview. Thank you very much for your time.
Thoroughly enjoyed it, Mark.
All right. Thank you very much for watching. All the best. Bye now.